start it now.
Three people online right now.
Great.
I'll leave the call.
Okay, thank you. Do we know who they are?
Yes.
Any questions? Can you tell me real quickly?
Well, hold on. I need to get that number.
Thank
you.
Hello?
Hello?
Todd, don't talk on this call.
We will jump in. Oh. This is my own idea. I'll see that I can't help it out.
Step one.
It's area code 310 612
642
4864.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Jeffrey? Stewart, do we know who the three reporters are at this time?
That's what he went to go get.
Okay, great.
I have the name Joe Salkowski of Arizona Daily Star, Cyrus Afzali of Internet.com, and Spencer Ante of TheStreet.com.
Right.
And those are the only ones that have filed in so far.
Who is the second guy, Simon? I'm sorry.
Cyrus F. Bowie.
Okay. From where?
Internet.com.
Well, I'll maintain radio silence, but I can hear you.
Great.
Fine. They can't hear the room yet?
No, they're not hearing music.
Okay.
Stuart?
Until we're ready to go live.
Okay, we're about ready to go live in about 2 minutes now. There's going to be about a 20-minute presentation where Zoe Baird is going to make her comments.
Okay.
And then at the point where she says, now we're going to go to the Q&A period, that's when, you know, we'll go into that. But until then, I don't want to have a noise comments coming through the speakerphone.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. If you want to do your announcement, operator, to the participants who have called in at this time, please do so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so go ahead. Yeah.
Check one.
The other two of them are waiting to join me up front. John, just a minute.
No, two of us are three. Two of us are three.
I don't
have any gender war up here, so hang on a second. Okay, I think you're all set. I thank you all for coming. My name is Zoe Baird, and I'm the president of the Markle Foundation. And let me introduce to you the others who are joining me, and I'll ask them all to just step forward so you can see who they are. You all know Esther Dyson. Ambassador Charles Costello is the director of the Democracy Program at President Jimmy Carter Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Former Massachusetts Attorney General Scott Harshbarger is the president and CEO of Common Cause. Jonathan Zittrain is the executive director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School. Jerry Berman is the executive director of the Center for Democracy and Technology. Nancy Cranich is the president-elect of the American Library Association. And I'd also like to introduce Andrew Shapiro, who acts as a senior advisor to the Markle Foundation and is such a central in our policy work. You'll hear more from them and about them in just a minute, but let me make a brief statement, as will the others, and then we'll open the floor up for questions. I'm very pleased to be here at the first annual meeting of ICANN to announce a package of initiatives that we are undertaking that can make an important and lasting contribution to the future of the Internet. As those of you who follow these issues well know, the rapid global growth and adoption of the Internet is putting power in the hands of individuals instead of institutions and moving decision-making away from the public sector to the private sector. Private entities or intergovernmental organizations are making decisions that wouldn't have been made by governments previously. This shift in the locus of decision-making will only protect important public interests if these new decision-makers operate with public participation and accountability. Additionally, these new structures often do not have the resources or the experience needed to make sure that the public is part of the process. ICANN is a leading example of this new kind of emerging institution and the challenges that they are faced with. Handed the responsibility by the United States government for managing the Internet's core domain name system worldwide, ICANN has the difficult task of balancing important competing interests and brokering extremely hard decisions that can ultimately impact critical issues of free speech, free commerce, free competition, and representation. But ICANN does not yet have the resources and the range of voices that it needs to answer questions like how do we protect the public interest? How do we make sure that this new policymaking is responsive to public needs? Without the financial resources and the involvement of those who are experienced in building and protecting democratic institutions, we risk seeing public decisions made without the public. So what's really at stake here? Why should the public and why should the people assembled here today care about any of this? As the Internet's first oversight body, ICANN will be faced with difficult and new decisions in which the old rules do not necessarily apply. As this medium becomes integral to the way we learn and communicate and conduct business, individuals around the world will have a stake in how it's shaped. Even though ICANN has a narrow jurisdiction, a closer look shows that the breadth of the challenges that they face that arise out of these so-called technical issues are very important. First, ICANN must make decisions between legitimate competing interests, such as holders of famous trademarks and people who register domain names similar to those marks. Take the story of Veronica, a baby whose parents set up a website in her name when she was born, veronica.org, only to be contacted by Network Solutions threatening to suspend the site because of a challenge by Archie Comics. Under what circumstances will ICANN allow NSI and others like it to take such steps today? Actions like these can have a chilling effect on free speech, yet trademark holders do have a right to protect the intellectual property in which they have invested. Another example, ICANN must decide what falls within the scope of their jurisdiction. Should, for example, ICANN have acted in the case of B92, the courageous and respected independent radio station in Belgrade that had its online identity, B92.net, taken over and used by Slobodan Milosevic and was left with no avenue for recourse? In many instances, whether ICANN acts or not will have profound implications. ICANN must decide if and how to best expand top-level domain names, things like .com, .org. There is a public interest in more and different kinds of space through which information will flow to people. Some of these might, for example, indicate safe places for children. How can this be done to help the public without treading on important rights of free speech? And ICANN must face tough decisions about how to balance anonymity on the web, a key element of political freedom, with the right to know who's behind the domain name. This is not some bloodless debate. We've all read stories about the website listing doctors performing abortions and propping them off when they were targets for assassination. or the website that published alleged British intelligence agents that put lives at risk and potentially British national security. We have a hard time seeing the validity of the claimed anonymity in a circumstance like that, but in the case of Chinese dissidents, we may feel differently. These are extremely hard questions, and there is no established playbook to work from. Whatever one's preferred outcome may be, these decisions will have widespread implications for the public, and these decisions will only be legitimate if the public is involved in how they are made. As a result, the first initiative the Markle Foundation is taking in commencing our Internet Governance Project will go toward making ICANN more open and accountable. Through our Internet Governance Project, Markle is committing more than $1 million to activities intended to promote the public interest in non-traditional international venues to which nations are ceding authority to make decisions and standards governing activities on the Internet. We expect close to half of that will go to a set of initiatives aimed at ICANN. ICANN has welcomed this help. Let me briefly outline the initiatives for you. First, we're meeting a request by ICANN itself for $200,000 that can be used to create an at-large membership and the means by which individual Internet users will select 9 members of ICANN's board of directors. These funds will allow ICANN to hire the appropriate staff, conduct research, create the technical mechanisms for global voting, translate key documents into several major languages for the benefit of all potential ICANN members, and create public education campaigns and the voting process itself. It's fitting that today is election day in the United States and that these resources are essentially going to implement the first direct participation by individuals in global decision making. Second, Markle has enlisted former President Jimmy Carter and the Carter Center, one of the world's premier election oversight organizations, which has overseen elections in many parts of the world, in local elections in China, elections in Malaysia, East Timor, and many others. The Carter Center will assist in creating an adequate mechanism to monitor the at-large elections in order to evaluate whether they are open and free of fraud. The Carter Center will also reach out to other leading experts in voting and democracy from around the world to determine standards for a fair election. Next, Common Cause, a nonpartisan organization promoting open, honest, and accountable government that has more than 200,000 members, has agreed to advise ICANN about how to build a membership and voting process that embodies our democratic tradition. They will also help to develop and recruit international democracy advocates to participate in this process. The American Library Association, the world's oldest and largest library association, will take on educational activities through its network of libraries worldwide so that individuals everywhere can better understand the stakes at hand and participate. One of their exciting initiatives will be the creation of virtual voting booths at libraries around the United States and through international partnerships elsewhere in the world. The Center for Democracy and Technology, a leading civil liberties organization for the digital age, will produce materials that will help to communicate the importance of this process to a wider audience. Harvard Law School's Berkman Center, which co-sponsored a public workshop this past weekend with Markle and underscored the depth of feeling for these issues, will begin to experiment with tools for online deliberative discourse. Lastly, we will be taking steps to enable leaders from around the world to participate more fully as well. Our response to ICANN's request should not be taken as an endorsement of the current at-large membership and voting plans. What Markle is doing is bringing in the experts in democracy and voting who can look at the current structure, identify the needs for public accountability in this organizational context, and make recommendations to improve the process in order to give it a chance to earn the public's trust. Together, these partners are bringing the best tradition of building democratic institutions, and they are informing the general public about the vital issues that are at stake. Many of these partners are new players to this debate. They are much needed, and the public will benefit from their involvement. The pace of growth of the Internet, you all know, is tremendous. 25 new .coms go online every minute. Tens of thousands of individuals go online for the first time every day. Small internet businesses are starting around people's kitchen tables every day. The unprecedented pace is evidence in these new decision-making bodies, too. In the case of ICANN, what might have been thought to be technical management at its conception has been recognized as something of broader impact since its launch. Global institutions are beginning to oversee the Internet's activities. These decisions that they make will determine whether the Internet achieves its potential as a powerful weapon for democratic values and aspirations. Management of the Internet by a private entity will not be stable or legitimate if this does not adequately include the public voice. I strongly believe that today can be a turning point in empowering the process of individual involvement and setting examples for how future governing bodies need to operate. They need to be given the resources to include public participation. They need to make room for the non-commercial players from the beginning. And they need to create the expectation that they will reach out to educate all stakeholders around the world about the issues at hand. Thank you. Esther?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Zoe. I'd like to thank you and the Morgan
Foundation. It was not nice. Somebody stop them.
Hello?
So, oh, Lord.
Sincerely, I'd like to thank the Markle Foundation and Zoe and Andrew in particular on behalf of all of ICANN's members today, on behalf of the board and the staff and everybody else involved. As we all know, it's one thing to meet minimal requirements of openness. It's another actually to achieve it, because it requires outreach, it requires education, it requires an informed public, it requires our materials to be not just in English. We've clearly been looking for volunteers to help us, but it's a real challenge when people come and say, we'd love to be involved, but we can't afford the trip to Los Angeles, or we'd love to be involved, but it takes too much time. We'd love to be involved, but we can't understand what's on your website. And we are going to take this grant not as a done deal, but as the beginning of trying to establish an outreach organization, trying to help to organize all these volunteers who are willing to help us, but have no one to direct them. There's no one at ICANN. Andrew McLaughlin is working very hard, but he's got a lot of other things to do. There's no one even to answer all the people who want to help us. And so the ability to hire a program director and get started on implementing just the basics of outreach is tremendously important. Then obviously there's the whole issue of elections, of getting people from outside the United States involved. And we're extremely grateful to the Markle Foundation and to the other organizations here for helping us move forward in something we want to do, that we have the bylaws to begin to create the structure for, but that we simply did not have the resources to do up to this point. And so with that, I'd like to listen to the other people and then take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The new president and CEO of Common Cause, I'm really thrilled to be in that position, but to have this opportunity. And I want to thank the Markle Foundation and ICANN and all of the partners, their willingness to participate in what is a very challenging, but tremendous and a process with incredible potential, both for learning and for democracy. Obviously, the new technology poses great challenges to everyone, and particularly on the question of how do you ensure fairness and equity and equality, credibility and legitimacy in processes that involve people's lives very, very directly. The reality is that this particular technology, and in fact what is becoming probably the dominant processes of communication and business and perhaps democracy in the world, happens to be dominated by particular interests because of their money, because of their influence, because of their vested interests. It will call into question the entire credibility of the system itself, whether or not it's deemed a policy entity. The fact is, people want to feel that this is a fair and credible system. Common Cause brings a 30-year history, beginning with John Gardner many years ago, as a leading citizen voice for open, honest, accountable government, but also for involvement of people in the process. We are trying to work very hard at that in this country, which we have not even achieved, and in fact we're facing alienation and cynicism. We now need to try to do this as well internationally. It is a great challenge and an experiment in democracy, and we're very, very pleased to bring our expertise and records to bear on. More importantly, I think our role is one of being an independent watchdog, a friendly critic, a participant in a process that hopefully will be a win-win for everybody. Common Cause is very proud to join with these wonderful partners, with their tradition and their history, but what we all face is a challenge that nobody really knows how it will all come out. And so as ICON faces the future, so do we. I believe Common Cause can offer an independence, a voice for the people, a tradition of standing up for the common interest over the special interest, and for common cause. And this is now an issue that is global as well as national. We all need to learn in this country as well. Perhaps this will help us learn how to do our own process of democracy even more effectively, with more involvement, particularly to people who have not been involved in this process. So we're proud to join in this. We all hope it will work out well. We shall see. Thank you.
Morning. The Carter Center has monitored national elections in some 25 countries around the world. The purpose of election monitoring is to advance the cause of democratic self-government by protecting citizens' rights to choose their leaders in open, free, and fair elections. In the past year, the Carter Center has sent election observation missions to such key countries as Venezuela, Nigeria, and Indonesia, as well as East Timor for the recent referendum on independence. Why is the Carter Center interested in the ICANN election for one half the members of the board of directors of a private nonprofit corporation? The reason, of course, is the global importance of the Internet in the 21st century. The right to participation in public affairs is essential to democracy, and full and free access to information, freedom of the press in the cyber age, underpins freedom of political expression and association. The Internet is not just about business and commerce or personal communication. It can be a powerful tool for political freedom. Witness the efforts of non-democratic authoritarian regimes to restrict access to the Internet by their citizens. Remember, however, the Internet as a tool also can be misused by governments, corporations, and individuals alike. That is why the quasi-public functions of ICANN in regulating the Internet are so important, and why the corporate governance issues presented by the ICANN election are so critical. The Carter Center hopes to contribute to making these elections as open, transparent, free, and fair as possible, and is pleased to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you. First, I want to say how pleased we as the American Library Association are to be part of this exciting new opportunity to demonstrate democracy at work in cyberspace. With support from the Markle Foundation, the American Library Association will launch a new project to promote Internet democracy. Libraries are the cornerstone of democracy. They are for everyone, everywhere. No one is excluded. Libraries provide the resources people need to be well-informed and to participate in their self-governance. In communities throughout America, libraries provide Internet access to millions of users. No place is better suited than libraries to serve the important role of fostering Internet democracy to all the public. Librarians have always worked to ensure public access to information. Today, we are playing a leadership role in protecting the public interest in cyberspace. Through AOA's Internet Democracy Project, libraries will help their communities learn about ICANN. They will encourage community residents to register as members and empower them to vote in the board elections. The American Library Association will create an Internet Democracy website that describes ICANN and why the issues it deals with are vitally important to everyone. And I might add that we're going to do that in Spanish as well as in English. Supporting the ICANN election is just the first step in AOA's Internet Democracy campaign. We will work towards seeing that governance structures for the Internet are developed in ways that are open and democratic. Our thanks to the Markle Foundation for their support and commitment to advancing democracy in cyberspace. And finally, let me say, when I got asked to come here, I said, oh my goodness, it's election day, I'll have to vote absentee. So I hope you will keep the motto that we need to get cyber citizens to vote. It is election day. Thank you.
Jerry Berman.
Thank you. It is also, we are very pleased to join this effort to try and expand public participation in these critical at-large elections and in the governance of ICANN. There should be no mistake about it. We all up here understand how daunting a task we have undertaken. We are talking about a global election, representation, legitimacy, trying to make it fair. We only have a small amount of funds relative to the amount of money that's even spent in any local congressional election. We're talking about a world election. So the real message is that we're coming in here, but that we cannot get this done without the participation of all the organizations that are active at ICANN now, other foundations, public policymakers, other nonprofit organizations around the country, other public interest organizations. It is absolutely has to be a common effort by the growing internet community to have a successful result. So we are prepared to start the ball rolling in this sector, but we really need a lot of help and participation to make it work.
Thank you. The Berkman Center studies cyberspace. It does so with a presumption that much of what we seek to learn is not already written down. As a result, much of our research is active rather than passive. We don't just read, we build, we contribute, we participate, and lay down track as we go. There are at least two projects that bear on what's happening today that are conducted in exactly that spirit. One is open education, looking for ways in which the internet might be used to change the way we teach and learn without any big restrictions on what it is to be a teacher or what it is to be a learner. As such, we've developed software that runs off a web server through which a teacher might augment what's going on in a physical classroom, and we try it on hapless Harvard Law students. And we also do it wholly online. We have a series of online lecture and discussion series on such varied subjects as privacy in cyberspace, domestic violence, the concept of the Greek hero, open to anybody that wants to do it, and for no fee, as a way of learning about teaching in this new medium. Our open governance project has been one that has included much participation with domain name issues and with ICANN as it has come along. One notable aspect of that contribution, perhaps, has been the webcast that you may see over the meetings that are taking place here and in other locations, and in the new architectures, the software we're trying to write there for remote participation, so that somebody very far away cannot just tune in as if watching television, but meaningfully participate and perhaps be the stone that turns the stream of a meeting one way rather than another. We want to bring these two sections together now. And with the help of the Markle Foundation, I believe we can do it through augmenting this software toolkit I've described to see that part of governance and part of
practical participation in governance issues is education. It's actually people educating each other, not just here's my interest, but through reason, perhaps convincing somebody of a view that he or she didn't have before. That means the politics isn't just the summing up of disparate interests, but a kind of deliberative process where what comes out may not resemble what went in because people's views have shifted in the meantime. What we're hopeful to do then, with this help from Markle, is work on substantive mechanisms that help not just at the in-person meetings, but all the time that happens in between to allow for meaningful dialogue, debate, and ultimately, since this isn't just academic, closure on an issue so that we can look back and say, wow, we found a way for the public to be involved and to actually make a difference. So in that spirit, we're delighted to participate in this initiative and have high hopes, even as we pin some of them on technical vicissitudes that can always cheat us on the future. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you for your opinion on Greenwich. Thank you, our opening perspective. And we'd now be very happy to take your questions. Perhaps let's start with questions in the room first, and then we'll go to the telephone for questions. Yes.
How much will you be giving to these building groups to 200,000 initiatives to iPad?
Right. If I could ask you also to identify yourself.
Juliana Gilmore, National Journal.
Right. We are going to be, we've made a commitment of just over $1 million to our Internet Governance Project generally, and we expect that almost half of that will go toward activities targeted at the ICANN process. We've identified $200,000 in response to the grant from a request from ICANN itself. And we still are in the process of forming out the exact amounts for others, and there is within those funds the expectation that we will be funding people in other parts of the world as well. Yes?
Andy Bowers with NPR. I'm wondering, for years we've been hearing lots about whether we will eventually be electing our politicians through cyber elections. I'm wondering to what extent you feel this is a dry run for something like that, and also what are the technical challenges that you expect to keep the anonymous internet users from voting early and often?
Let me ask, Scott, you want to jump in, or Jerry, on the first question of whether we should expect other elections by the internet, and then I'm going to ask Esther, who I think has been thinking a bit about some of the technical challenges, to jump in on the second question.
I'm very thrilled with interest. I would have liked to know if a year ago on this day, had we been able to vote this way without having been governor in Massachusetts. But I think one of our challenges, obviously, you saw that the Secretary of State of Iowa is experimenting with internet voting in a variety of areas. I think we're all very interested, certainly in Common Cause, and with all the groups that we hope to involve, who are experts in elections and democracy all over the country and world, to try to figure out whether some of the things we learned here might be applicable and could be tested as a part of dealing with elections generally as we try to increase participation. On the other side of that, it raises some of the same issues. We have to be very concerned about how do you deal with identifications? How do you avoid fraud? How do you avoid some of the other problems that come with it? So it's a long answer to say we don't know, but my own view is that the opportunity to experiment is crucial now. We need to experiment in this country with how we get people involved and get them involved legitimately. So I see this as a real opportunity to focus on this as one example and one way we might try. And we'll also learn a great deal about what doesn't work.
One small comment. These questions, there are a legion of questions about the difficulty of this election, how to authenticate, how to verify, who's a member, do they register, are there slates, how are they financed, will there be disclosure? Those questions are, we recognize those questions. To get into any one particular solution and give an example is, I think, at this point, premature, that we really have to look at our options, look at the time frame, do some intense work together and brainstorming and solicit some the best thinking out in this room and in the ICANN community to come up with some solutions to try and make this election authentic and representative.
Thank you.
Jerry?
I'd like to, to be honest, I think the first question is far more interesting. The technical means of guaranteeing that each person votes only once, and you know, whether or not the vote should be anonymous, all these things are what I hope will use some of this money and some of the efforts of our partners here to help determine. To me, what's far more interesting, you know, put it this way, talking about voting as if it were a democracy is like talking about sex as if it were marriage. There's just a lot more involved. And I'd like to go back to Jonathan Bisson's comments. Our real challenge here is not to get 5,000 people to vote. It's to get 5,000 people and ultimately many more to understand the issues and maybe even to change their minds when they discover some of the underlying conflicts, again, between an individual and a trademark holder, somebody's right to an identity in cyberspace versus somebody's right to privacy, those kinds of things. So I'm hoping far more than getting people to vote, which is important, that we get them to think before they vote, and that we get a diversity of people to think before they vote. It's not simply that diversity is good. Sometimes you actually come up with better solutions. And so I'm extremely glad that we have here not simply a commitment to reaching out in the United States, but a commitment to reaching out into other countries and other languages so that we can all have the benefit of listening to these points of view and maybe even changing our own. Thank you. I'll take another question from the room here, and then I'm going to go to the telephone. Jerry?
Jerry, probably more than that. Fine. I understand that ICANN has on its agenda to change the bylaws and how the at-large members should be elected and elected justice, so that it would be interesting to members who vote for council and council and elected members. Like the Carter Center, do you guys have an opinion on that? Do you think it's true for ICANN to be changing the rules on how to do an election before all of you guys get involved in this process?
Let me just point out, Jerry is not from the Carter Center. Jerry's from the Center for
Democracy
and Technology. I'm happy to have him and the Carter Center answer, and Esther, if you want to make a comment.
Let me start on that one. We're new to this, so I'm certainly not prepared to opine here and now about the virtual devices of that kind of electoral system, but, and I understand that in part at least it relates to the kinds of certain legal consequences affecting rights of members or shareholders to have access to the courts for suits of the corporate variety, derivative shareholder rights. But that there are many different electoral systems in use in the world. I'm thinking more of governance, national public systems, as opposed to corporate governance. But to try to achieve electoral systems that protect rights, be they of citizens or shareholders or users, and that introduce the right kind of degree of fairness, opportunity for representation, you can design your systems in different ways. There's no such thing either as an ideal electoral system or ultimately a totally neutral electoral system. So it will be, we hope, one of the contributions we make to this process based on our work with elections around the world, particularly in the international or non-US sphere, to be able to say whether an indirect electoral system, an electoral college of sorts, which is being proposed here, adequately meets the kinds of essential criteria or elements that you look for to be able to judge whether elections are representative, free and fair, transparent.
Let me start, Jerry. Many of the people up here are new to this process. We've been around ICANN for a long time.
we know that there is a game underway with elections being set and they're indirect and they're at large and there are trains running. And we're not up here to say that we're going to rethink the whole system, but to look at it and make our judgment. What is news here is that new people are who have not been involved in this day-to-day process, who might be able to see some of the forest rather than the trees, are stepping in to make a judgment and an assessment of how fair and representative this is. I think that is, in every one of the ICANN rounds, there have been more people participating. We can go back through the history. And it's always, part of it is saying, where were you before? They didn't know about it. That's still the case. Most of the world doesn't know about this process. So we are making another reach out, and hopefully we will improve the process and figure out how to do this, if not right, better or more representative. We're just not there yet.
There were a number of legal, practical, whatever, considerations in coming up with this structure and in moving forward with it quickly so that we could be sure that this at-large membership would indeed go forward from this board meeting. Personally, not speaking for the board, but personally, whenever I hear you doing something for legal reasons and it's a complicated structure, I wonder. And the fact is, I think we've come up with a very good structure, and there are really two reasons here. The first is, this is not a typical electoral college where people get elected merely to vote for the ICANN director. Our hope is that this at-large membership council will in fact be very active in the outreach. They're not simply going to come together once a year and vote or select directors. These are the people we're going to rely on to work hard to reach out to their community. These are the people that really should be involved in the grassroots. Their activities should be as much directed at their own communities, whatever they are, as they are directed at ICANN. They should be ambassadors outward. Second, as you can imagine, this is a new venture. We really want it to work. It's experimental, but it's not an experiment. And we do believe that getting a council of people who are elected then to sit together and pick people is more likely to produce good results than simply working on the basis of broad voting. There are benefits to representation. These at-large council members will be spending time to get informed on the issues, to become better acquainted with the people they're voting for. And so I actually think this structure makes sense and for more than simply legal reasons.
Question back to
you. Can we get a red iron magazine? And it's a question for you, Barrett, and also for us, you've actually two. First is that there was always a partnership when our time was being created, whether how narrow or broad was going to be as an issue. So is it going to be a small, or as an institution, or is it going to focus on a small technical area, or broader public policy and social questions? So the first question is, with the introduction of the Markle Foundation, is this sort of perhaps opening up the door to a shift in ICANN from small technical parameters to the broader issues of local policy? Let me ask the second question, and then we can go to the second. The second is this. Does it perhaps pose a conflict of interest if people from any of the institutions decide to run as a person to sit on the general at-large membership, insofar as you are also coming up money to helping the outreach of the publicize that particular body?
Let me repeat for the benefit of the people on the phone what the question is, and I apologize I didn't do that earlier. The first question is whether the Markle Foundation stepping in here suggests that the scope of ICANN's role is expanded beyond what has been called technical decision making to policy making, broader social policy making, and the second question is whether there's a conflict of interest for any of the people that we've brought into the fold to themselves run for at-large membership. On the second question, I assure you this is a question that none of the people on the stage have given any thought to yet, and would do so carefully should they be at all interested in it or will take a position on how they will perceive that issue, I'm sure, is one of the early things that they consider. The second, back to the very fundamental question you asked about the scope of ICANN, as I tried to express in my statement, it is my belief that whether you call what ICANN is doing technical decision making or anything else, the decisions it will make will have a very important impact on the public at large and therefore needs to be made with public input. And I think that to engage in a debate over whether these are merely technical issues or whether these are broad social policy issues is a debate that is a complete diversion. That what matters, and I try to express some examples of what matters is that every user of the internet, everyone who is online, everyone who's going online, whether they're using this to create social communities or using the internet for the benefit of their own small businesses, will be affected in important ways by decisions ICANN makes, and therefore they have an important stake and they have to have an important voice.
Esther, do you want to comment?
Sure. On the topic of conflict of interest, Zoe's right. We have not actually thought about that. But at the same time, I personally welcome the involvement of some not-for-profit, non-commercial money, as well as the business money. It is a world where, as I said before, voices need to be heard, but for those voices to be heard, for people to be informed, money does need to be spent. And all I can say is if anybody is concerned about Markle's influence, they should volunteer their own funds and their own time and help make this thing even broader. Because believe me, we will gladly take funding from other organizations, and Markle, I know, has a $100 million program, not a $1 billion program. And there's lots of other organizations existing. You see some of them here, and others yet to be funded. Personally, I'm a member of the board of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I'm active and trustee. ICANN is only a small part of the internet's life. It's only a small part of my life. The thing to understand about ICANN is that it is managing a key public technical resource. It should be accountable to the public. But it is not managing people. It's managing one specific part of the internet. It's an important part. It's the place where people go to establish their identity. But it's not the only part, and it does not deal with privacy, freedom of speech, all kinds of government controls and all kinds of activities. It does deal with some important social issues, such as anonymity and privacy in very specific areas. But its remit is limited. That doesn't mean it's not important. Let's take a question from those who are on the telephone.
You do have a question from Joe Falkowski of Arizona Daily Star. Please go ahead.
I apologize for the nature of this question, but it comes from being on the phone. Somebody earlier said something very interesting about comparing sex and democracy, and I was unclear as to whether that was Esther Dyson or Zoe Bears.
It was Esther Dyson. It was not Zoe Bears. Thank you for asking that clarification.
Just want to clear that up.
But we will take another question from the phone, too, even though that's the one we got. Is there someone else who's on the phone who would like to ask a question?
We have no further questions from the phone.
There's a question here in the audience. Yes.
My name is Ethan. I'm the Secretary General of KGI, and I'm really, I appreciate your efforts to reach out globally. And it's good to ask me about the county, I'm a member of the regional MAC, who strongly opposed the fees for the next year. And that's really well funded. My question is, do you have any sense of policy how to allocate these funding?
The question was, does the Marco Foundation have any policies for how to allocate the funding in terms of diversity? We're talking to a number of organizations now that have a lot of experience in working with nonprofit organizations and individuals around the world, and we will be getting input on that, and perhaps in terms of some of these funds, giving grants to other organizations for them to distribute the funds according to very well and clearly identified descriptions of who would be eligible for them. Are there any other questions? We thank you all very much for your interest, and I thank everyone for coming.
I just like to mention, for those who are interested,
chat.
At 9:30 in Kamatsu Country, there's an informal at-large
group chat
gathering, and you're all welcome.
Group chat? Group chat. Wait, please. Separate the two. So actually, I can't be in the middle.
It's a lady in gray now.
Okay, and tomorrow. Sir, can you just put that one a little bit over there?
Let's note this.
ideas and recommendations. Yeah, the other thing that you definitely need is this program mode. Yeah, to be honest,
we have a job board that
that would be great. If we can post on your job board.
We have a weekly basis for all of the foundation directors in Los Angeles. And then the other thing we do weekly is a weekly breakfast for all of the corporate. There are 278 rural corporations in Los Angeles. So we do the breakfast week on the
weekend.
Around and relatively
Thank you. Baby grow up.
How are you?
Looking out of the moon. It's not bad.